Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. You are listening to WAMRDB Atlanta Mix Radio. We have our host for today, Miss Patricia Hunt, who has began a long journey from the days that black women were the first. She was the first at WXIA Atlanta, a live radio here in Atlanta, Georgia. And today I thought it was best that another first have an amazing opportunity to be presented to our listeners and young girls across the nation, where she influenced people like myself and all the women that has walked on top of her back and got where they have today. We want to thank her on behalf of WMRDB because she used to be our mentor at the very beginning. I want to welcome her back to our fold in the family. I also want to introduce and welcome Demonica Fly as well, our A&R director in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Thank you for that introduction, Karima. I don't want to correct you, but I want you to say that I am one of the first. Not that I was the very first. I'm
okay.
One of the first.
One of the first. Okay.
Any accolade that's not mine.
Yes, yes, but, yes, absolutely.
I appreciate your heart.
Thank you. So we're celebrating today. I want us to talk about what is going on. If you just let the rest of our listeners know what is taking place.
All right. First of all, I'm going to back into this because most of us know what has happened. I'd like to begin our conversation about Senator Kamala Harris with a statement I heard last night on MSNBC's The Last Word with Lawrence O'Donnell. Lawrence said, a black woman came to him sometime before the election in 2016 when Kamala Harris was running for the U.S. Senate. The woman told O'Donnell he should go hear Kamala Harris speak. The lady said Kamala Harris is going to be the female version of Barack Obama. You don't want to miss this speech, she said. Lawrence O'Donnell went to the speech. He carried with him his 12-year-old daughter because he took the black lady very seriously. They listened to the speech. When the speech was over, Lawrence O'Donnell said at that time he believed Kamala Harris was a rising star. Well, guess what? He was right. Lawrence O'Donnell was right. Kamala Harris has just made history, becoming the first black woman, the first Southeast Asian woman, I should say the first Indian woman from Asia, to be placed on the Democratic ticket for president and vice president in the United States of America. I'll talk a little later about how, why she's compared to Barack Obama. Many of you may already know, you probably know. I'm going to give you a little bit of background on Kamala Harris's record. Kamala Harris's record in public service is amazing. She's extremely well-educated, having graduated from Howard University in Washington, D.C., an HBC. Historically black college in America. When she learned that she was had been nominated, or when she learned that she was Joe Biden's pick for his vice presidential running mate, Kamala Harris called the president of Howard University and told him. He was elated, like all of us. She graduated from a prestigious law school, University of California, Hastings College of Law. And she began her career as the 27th District Attorney in Alameda County in California. She was born in Oakland, California. And as district attorney, as the 27th district attorney in Alameda County, she was later moved to the San Francisco office to be district attorney in San Francisco. She was elected to that post in 2003 and served until 2011. 2011. She was elected to the 32nd Attorney General of California. Now, California, as you know, is the most populated state in the USA. She won that race by a hard-fought effort, by less than 1% of the vote. If she had not won that election, we would not be talking about Kamala Harris here today.
Yes.
The second time she was elected to that post, she wanted, this was in 2014, she won that race by 61.8% of the vote. Her opponent had 38.4% of the vote.
Okay.
And, well, let me tell you a little bit more. She is presently now the third year U.S. Senator from California. She was elected, of course, in 2016. She's the third female senator from California. She's the second African-American female from California. She's the first South Asian-American woman to serve in the U.S. Senate from California. She has supported, while she's been in the Senate, in this three-year period of time, she supported health care reform, federal descheduling of cannabis, a path to citizenship for undocumented immigrants of the DREAM Act, a ban on assault weapons, and progressive tax reform. She is now the Democratic nomination for President of the United States of America, or Vice President. Or let me say, she ran for Democratic nomination of President for the USA in the 2020 election. Her All campaign right. ended on December 3rd, 2019, citing a lack of funds to continue. And now, Joe Biden has named her as his running mate for vice president of the United States. So that's a rundown, a quick rundown of her public life record.
Outstanding. Outstanding. I can't tell you how she slept, and she's a married woman with children,
yes,
and she loves her family. So for right,
yes,
now, I want to play something for you. I was able to grab this real quick, and we'll be back. It's going to take about 5 minutes, but I want to also formally,
sure,
introduce her. Hold on.
These crises we,
all right, very good.
Getting our economy back on track, uniting this nation, and yes, winning the battle for the soul of America. My fellow Americans, now let me introduce to you, for the first time, your next Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris. Kamala, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe. As I said, Joe, when you called me, I am incredibly honored by this responsibility, and I'm ready to get to work. I am ready to get to work. After the most competitive primary in history, the country received a resounding message that Joe was the person to lead us forward. And, Joe, I'm so proud to stand with you. And I do so mindful of all the heroic and ambitious women before me whose sacrifice, determination, and resilience makes my presence here today even possible. This is a moment of real consequence for America. Everything we care about, our economy, our health, our children, the kind of country we live in, it's all on the line. We're reeling from the worst public health crisis in a century. The president's mismanagement of the pandemic has plunged us into the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. And we're experiencing a moral reckoning with racism and systemic injustice that has brought a new coalition of conscience to the streets of our country, demanding change. America is crying out for leadership. Yet we have a president who cares more about himself than the people who elected him. A president who is making every challenge we face even more difficult to solve. But here's the good news. We don't have to accept the failed government of Donald Trump and Mike Pence. In just 83 days, we have a chance to choose a better future for our country. So, Joe, Dr. Biden, thank you for the trust you've placed in me. Jill, I know you will be an incredible first lady. And my husband, Doug, and I are so grateful to become a part of your extended family. And ever since I received Joe's call, I've been thinking, yes, about the first Biden that I really came to know, and that, of course, is Joe's beloved son, one of his beloved sons, Beau. In the midst of the Great Recession, Beau and I spoke on the phone practically every day, sometimes multiple times a day, working together to win back billions of dollars for homeowners from the big banks of the nation that were foreclosing on people's homes. And let me just tell you about Beau Biden. I learned quickly that Beau was the kind of guy who inspired people to be a better version of themselves. He really was the best of us. And when I would ask him, where'd you get that? Where did this come from? He'd always talk about his dad. And I will tell you, the love that they shared was incredible to watch. It was the most beautiful display of the love between a father and a son. And Bo talked about how Joe would spend 4 hours every day riding the rails back and forth from Wilmington to Washington so he could make breakfast for his kids in the morning and make it home in time to tuck them in bed each night. All of this so two little boys who had just lost their mom and their sister in a tragic accident would know that the world was still turning. And that's how I came to know Joe. He's someone whose first response when things get tough is never to think about himself, but to care for everyone else. He's someone who never asks, why is this happening to me? And instead asks, what can I do to make life better for you? His empathy, his compassion, his sense of duty to care for others is why I am so proud to be on this ticket.
Welcome back to WAMRDB, the woman's station, Atlanta Mix Radio, the new look and feel of radio. That was Kamala Harris. I was able to get a piece of that sound bite. I want to thank everybody for tuning in as we are listening to our interview with Patricia Hunt, news anchor, retired from WXIA, Atlanta Live News. One of several African-American women who started off in Atlanta back in the day. And so we want to welcome her back. I wanted to just kind of, you know, I also want to welcome Demonica Fly, who is our A&R director in Minnesota. So and Ms. Hunt is out there in Oregon, and Ms. Fly is out in the St. Paul, Minnesota. So you guys have some action going on both places too. So we got a lot going on in this country. Right, it's got a lot. Yes, you know, it's just a lot. You don't only have enough time.
It's a turbulent time.
what did you think about her speech?
Kamala Harris's speech?
Yes.
I thought it was beautiful. And I really appreciated how she brought in how she got to know Joe Biden originally. It was through his son, Bo. And she met Bo. Can I talk a little bit about how she met Bo?
Uh-huh.
All right. She met Bo because during the Great Recession, as she referred to it as, a lot of all over the country were losing their houses. They were being foreclosed on. Millions, thousands of people were losing their houses. And it was really hard times in America back then. And this hasn't been too long ago.
Uh-uh.
Kamala Harris is only 55 years old. And she was Attorney General of California. Starting in the year 2010, she was elected. She started in 2011, January. And 9 months after that, I believe they waged a major lawsuit. Attorney generals from different countries waged a major lawsuit against some of the major, I believe five of the major mortgage companies. And one of the people that she ran into was Bo Biden. Bo Biden was attorney general of a district attorney in Delaware.
Okay.
And they became good friends. Now, the reason they became friends is because the five mortgage companies came back with an offer to them. And this offer was being made to satisfy people who were losing their houses, were being foreclosed on all over the country, not just California.
Right.
And Kamala and Bo and a handful of other people decided, no, we are going to reject this offer. So they rejected the offer. And they rejected the offer to a lot of criticism among people all over the country. Kamala Harris's name was not in good books at that time.
Huh.
So they went back to the drawing board. The reason people didn't like it is because they figured they would take a little bit rather than coming and walking away with nothing. And Kamala and Bo and about three other attorney generals, they devised a counter offer and presented it 13 months, over a year. The four mortgage companies decided eventually they accepted this rebuttal offer. And Kamala Harris got to go back to her constituents. And I might add right here that California was the fifth largest state. They had more people than any other state because California is the largest state in the union.
Yes.
They had literally 5% of all the people in the country who had incredible large numbers of people who had been foreclosed on. Well, Kamala Harris had the privilege of going before her government, before her people, in a press conference that she had won for her state an $18 billion settlement. $18 billion for people in California. Now, that's a very big deal.
Yes, Lord.
Just foreclosed on.
It
gave them something to begin again on. And Kamala Harris was credited with that. Not only was Kamala Harris credited, not only did this go for Kamala Harris's state, people all over the country benefited from Kamala Harris's decision not to accept the first offer from the mortgage company.
That says a lot.
$18 billion?
That says a lot.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
So that was Kamala Harris's within the first year of service in that country, in that state. That was her first contribution as state attorney general. Now, I might mention to you, as Attorney General in California, she was actually in charge. She was head woman, head person in charge of the second largest judicial branch in the USA, second only to the U.S. Attorney General.
Good gracious.
You realize that?
Didn't know it, but know it now.
No. I did. That is major. That is major. That is major. Yes, indeed.
Oh,
yes,
that's
indeed. And
oh,
even
yes.
Before she, even before she got there, she got promoted from Alameda County to San Francisco's district attorney position. That was major. For a girl from Oakland, California, to be elevated to San Francisco as district attorney, that was major.
A hidden figure.
Now you see why.
Yes, hidden figure.
She was a rising star.
Yes, yes. They said it at the beginning. Yes, and she got that Jamaican in her. She's shopping that machete.
Yes. Now, Jamaica, yes. But her mother,
yes.
Her mother was she was very well educated. Her mother was. Her mother used to work on cancer research. She was an assistant in cancer research to alleviate cancer. That's the woman who raised her. Her mother and father divorced when she was less than 10 years old. She was a little girl. And she and her sister were raised by her mother. Her father was Jamaican, but her mother was from India. India Indian. Yes.
And they were, and I read a little bit more about them. I know I read that she comes from a long line of politicians from over there in India. Her uncle, they would discuss for days. They would go over and they would discuss what the politics were, and they fought against corruption as well. As I did more of my research, they fought against corruption in India. And so it was just a part where I just know that God has his hand on her. And I think that the most important thing is that she called the president out on national TV. She didn't sugarcoat it. That's why I wanted you all to hear it. I was okay. She sharpened her machete and it hit the ground, the thing sparked, pop, and he jumped on the air, y'all. He did. He was like, he on the abba-dabba. I think, what did you say to Monica? She said, what you say he said? He was what? She was what? A mean woman.
He called her mean and nasty and liberal. Mean, nasty, and liberal.
Man.
He said, when Donald Trump pays you an insult, you have to realize
he's
from the mouth of a man who is known widely lies to tell untruth. So you can't depend on what he's saying.
But this is the thing.
Said,
he's scared.
Right, and then he mentioned she only got 2% of a vote in 2019, and he was shocked that he couldn't believe that, you know, what her what her percentage was last night. But he's like, she was only at 2%. She's a very mean, you know. But she's she's intelligent, but
we brought this to light.
Karima, I would like you to go back to that confrontation she had with Joe Biden on the very first debate. She pointed out that he had made favorable comments about said two of his colleagues in the Senate for wanting to stop integration, wanted to impede integration, and for
they wanted to stop busing. And Kamala Harris talked about how she knew of a little girl who was 8 years old who had been bused to school for 2 years. And she was one of, at age eight, she was one of the children. She and her sister were two of the children who integrated the county that she lived in Oakland. And they had to be bused every day to and fro. And busing takes children on a long journey before they get to where they're going. And she said, she looked at Joe Biden pointedly and said, "That little girl was me." And Joe Biden responded, startled, looked at her, "What?" As if to say, "I don't believe you're confronting me like that." In fact, she was the only one to confront Joe Biden, because at that time, Joe Biden was considered the front runner.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes guts to go up against the front runner in the Democratic Party presidential race nomination for the presidential to represent the Democratic Party. But Kamala Harris took courage, and she did that. And to make a long story short, let's cut through the mustard. When she did that, let me just say that when she did that, people began to count her out. That's why she had to drop out of the race on December 3rd, 2019, because of lack of funds to continue her race.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wanted to contribute to Kamala Harris, because they thought, she doesn't have a chance now. Well, history tells us a different story. Here in August 2020, Joe Biden overlooked that. I don't think he overlooked it. You know what I think he did?
Mm-hmm.
I think he backed up, and he began to think about it. She was the first person to bring the race issue to Joe Biden's attention. And what do you think America is enthralled in right now? We are embroiled in the issues of race, particularly after George Floyd's death. And not just George Floyd, but Breonna Taylor, a number of them. And why do you think the country is up in arms all over the country? People protesting to this day about what happened to George Floyd. So these are the times we're living in now. But Joe Biden was sensitized to these times first by Kamala Harris and her approach to him in that very first debate. And I applaud Kamala Harris for having the guts and courage and strength and chutzpah to raise that issue at that time.
Chutzpah. I wanna take a moment, you guys, and I wanna let you guys listen to what she said about George Floyd. It's gonna take a few minutes. Hold on.
Senator Harris, thank you so much for being on the Tonight Show and coming back to us. I know these are very difficult times, and you're very, very busy right now. So I really, really appreciate this. Thank you, so much for this.
Good to be with you, Jimmy.
If you don't mind, I'd like to get right to the breaking news today was that the three other officers involved with the death of George Floyd have now been charged. What are your thoughts?
As of today, we're one step closer to justice. But, you know, I have long believed, and I think we all know, justice delayed is justice denied, and why it has had to take so long for those other three officers to be held accountable has, you know, caused pain for Mr. Floyd's family and the community and all of us who watched that video and are watching what's happening. But thankfully, Keith Ellison, the Attorney General, has taken over the case and is obviously not wasting any time in making sure that justice is delivered to Mr. Floyd's family and to that community and to our country.
What are your thoughts on the administration currently and how they've been dealing with this on top of the pandemic?
I mean, Jimmy, we've got a president of the United States, or at least somebody who occupies that position, who doesn't understand the job and is incapable of performing the job. And most recently, you know, frankly, the words that he speaks are the words not of a president, they're the words of a dictator. I was in D.C. that night. You know, I joined the protesters in D.C.
I saw that.
So I've been out there, you know, and I will tell you that had my parents not marched and shouted in the 60s, I would not have been, together with all those who did, I'm pretty certain that I would not be talking with you tonight as only the second black woman ever elected to the United States Senate. There are so many things that we as a society have benefited from because people took to the streets to exercise their First Amendment right to speak out and speak to their government so that we could see progress. And the idea that just a couple of nights ago, this guy, Donald Trump, who happens to right now be president of the United States, would throw tear gas at people who were peacefully protesting so he could clear the roads. Right? It reminds me of the emperor with no clothes. So he could clear the roads to walk, to carry the Bible, the Holy Bible. You know, it as though it were one of his stakes, one of his Trump stakes for a photo op. And that night, because I was at my apartment in D.C., I heard the Black Hawks flying. You know the last time I was on a Black Hawk? When I was in Afghanistan. That's...
We need to bring that back in there. What did she say? The man that's supposed to be sitting in the White House. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody? Anybody?
<Right. laughs>
Anybody? What did she say? And I don't even know what she meant about some about a king or somebody that did that before in the past with a king or somebody that did that, an emperor or somebody that did that before in
mm-hmm.
history.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She referred to him as a dictator, not as a president.
Dictator.
Mm.
Back in the Roman days.
Because, you
know, Trump calls her mean and divisive and mean and nasty and a liberal.
Mm-hmm.
She calls him divisive. She calls him divisive.
Yes.
She says he wants to make America great again. He wants to make America hate again. Now, that's an indictment. She calls him the most corrupt president America has ever seen in its whole entire history.
Wow.
Now,
mm-hmm.
that's saying something.
Boy, and she
that's saying
and she
something.
An attorney. He should be trying to get on the plane. He should be trying to get on the plane, y'all, to Putin right now.
Yes.
We done lost Air Force One, y'all.
This is the second most powerful. She at one time was the second most powerful prosecutor in the United States of America. And this prosecutor, she's an excellent prosecutor. You can tell that by how she questions people in hearings in the U.S. Senate. In the U.S. Senate, she's very powerful, very demanding. She even stumped the U.S. Attorney General, William Barr, when he faced the U.S. Senate very recently. Very recently. He hemmed and hawed and never found an answer to her question.
Yeah.
He hemmed and hawed and never found an answer to her question.
I got another one for y'all. Wait
it
a minute.
Made
here.
Him guilty instantly.
I got you. I got another one for you. You mentioned something. I got something else
and
for you.
And I will say also that in this campaign, we've also heard, and I'm going to now direct this at Vice President Biden. I do not believe you are a racist. And I agree with you when you commit yourself to the importance of finding common ground. But I also believe, and it's personal, and it was hurtful to hear you talk about the reputations of two United States senators who built their reputations and career on the segregation of race in this country. And it was not only that, but you also worked with them to oppose busing. And, you know, there was a little girl in California who was part of the second class to integrate her public schools. And she was bused to school every day. And that little girl was me. So I will tell you that on this subject, it cannot be an intellectual debate among Democrats. We have to take it seriously. We have to act swiftly. As Attorney General of California, I was very proud to put in place a requirement that all my special agents would wear body cameras and keep those cameras on. Senator Harris, thank you. Vice President Biden, you have been invoked. We are going to give you a chance to respond. Vice President Biden.
Yes.
Yes.
And Karima, where would we be? Where would we be today without those body cameras?
As we say, no weapon formed against me shall form prosper.
Prosper.
Jamaican style, y'all. Hey.
What is done in secret will come to light.
That's what she's walking around right now. I'm talking about no weapon formed against me. I didn't have no money, but guess what? I'm back.
Yes.
Ta-da!
She's a rock star.
Ta-da! Ta-da! I made some calls.
Hey,
I said,
Karima, listen to this. Karima. When Kamala Harris first ran for the Attorney General in California, guess who contributed to her campaign?
Biden?
No. Donald Trump. Not only Donald Trump, but his daughter, Ivanka Trump.
What's he getting?
They both contributed back in 2000. Back in 2009 and 10, they contributed to Kamala Harris's campaign for Attorney General in California.
Wow.
Yes, indeed. So they recognize, that Kamala Harris was a force to be reckoned with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, San Francisco is a, everybody knows that San Francisco is a very prestigious town in California. And Donald Trump probably has been through there many times. He's one of the rich ones. And so he knew, he had heard wind of who she was. Someone has bent his ear. And he wanted to get in on that. He wanted to make an impression on her. Back then, you know, Donald Trump looks for, he courts outstanding black people that he can persuade to his corner.
Mm-hmm. He needs to.
I don't know that he was as negative at that time as he is now.
No,
but
no.
He wanted Kamala Harris in his corner. Yes, indeed, he did.
Now, Demonic, I want to give you a moment, and I know you got something to say. So tell us, what's on your mind?
No, I'm listening, I'm learning, and I also what I did enjoy too that Biden, he felt comfortable. He needed someone. He said she is ready for the front line. But if he felt like if he needed to step back, he needed somebody that was going to be able to run this country. If anything was to happen, a strong front line.
Yes.
And that's Kamala.
Someone ready to be president at a moment's notice is what he said. Exactly.
Girl, I can't do
it
with y'all. I got too much data for me. I can't do it.
Smart, sharp, and fierce. And Kamala Harris said in her run for this office, for the president, she said, I am prepared to prosecute the President of the United States of America.
We're going to take a break for a second, y'all. Be right back. Okay, mess with them.
Wash your hands, avoid sick people, and touching your face. There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
And we're back.
Very good.
We are back. We're back. Yes, we're back. I just want to reset the show. We are talking about the first. We're talking about Kamala Harris, named by front runner Joe Biden as the VP for 2020, and we have Miss Patricia Hunt on and Miss Demonica Fly. Respectfully on both ends of the country. One of them, they had a lot of stuff going on in Portland, and y'all had a lot of stuff going on in Minnesota. That's another show.
Yeah.
But I don't know if anybody heard what Ms. Hunt said. I felt like we was in the station again. The station manager running, got a break! Got a break! Got a break! Ain't nobody supposed to know that. So, yeah, but we're back, and we're chatting it up about different things that have occurred. One of the things I think that was so interesting is that you said that the way she started off is that she wanted to tell the story of, you know, the history that they have. And I think that begins the show, and I think it really should end the show, and the fact that this man understood that he had to get a warrior. And I think that says a lot about him. It says a lot about when a man knows how to stand back and let a warrior do the work. I know that's right, honey. Go ahead.
I give Joe Biden great credit. I give him great kudos for the choice of this woman. And I come from a father and a mother. My father was a year younger than my mother. My father had a third grade education. My mother had a seventh grade education. My father, when he chose my mother to marry, he began to discover her assets. And he became man enough early on in their marriage to listen to her. He saw that she was good with math. He put her in charge of all of his money. He worked in Fieldcrest. He came home and handed her his paycheck. And they went to the bank, cashed it, and she decided where all the money went. He took $5. She took $5 of that money and gave it to him for his pocket. She banked a certain portion of it. She paid bills with a certain portion of it. But she saved. And she said she was a very thrifty woman. And he saw the power of her thriftiness. And he became very impressed. Then she persuaded him. She had raised the money to buy a farm, a 110-acre farm. She persuaded him to drop down that money and buy that farm. And he obeyed. He took her word. To make a long story short, when he was now 75 years old and they were on their way to the lawyer to draw up their will and set up their estate, the Wilson family estate, I won't tell you how much money she had saved. But he was so shocked. He said, "Lord and mercy, I can't believe I got this much money. No, that ain't my money, is it, Roberta?" My mother's name was Roberta.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
So I admire Joe Biden just like I admire my father. He realized he had a jewel. And he treasured her. And he used her. He let her exercise her wings. And he died in his own home with three of his daughters nursing him, and my mother nursing him. And what I'm trying to say is that he didn't have to go to a nursing home. He did go to a nursing home for 1 month. But he has had the opportunity to retire and live out his life in his own home with his family close around him. That's how I feel about Joe Biden. That's the caliber of man that Joe Biden is. That he was able to pick the woman who confronted him. He was humble enough, wise enough, to say, "This is the kind of prosecutor I want on my team." That's the spirit of Joe Biden and the character of Joe Biden's decision to choose Kamala Harris.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have listened to the most spectacular woman I've ever met in my life, Miss Patricia Hunt, retiree, Emmy-nominated reporter and anchor of y'all know 11 Live News in Atlanta. I can't do nothing else. I'm done.
WXIA,
11 Live News. And we also have Demonica Fly on. And Demonica, you can take us out.
You're listening to the Woman Station, WAMIDV. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it, all the listeners.
And congratulations. I'm every woman.
Yes.
We congratulate you, Ms. Kamala Harris. Thank you so
yes,
much,
indeed.
Patricia. A wonderful show. I am so excited for 2021, 2020. Come on, out with the old and new with the end. Oh.
Atlanta, Minneapolis, Nashville, and everywhere else. Radio.